Unknown caller.
Before you
lost that number. Could I make one request? Don't rock the jukebox, I wanna hear some Jones. 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone. So don't rock the jukebox, play me a country song. Ain't got nothing against rock and roll, but when your heart's been broken, you need a song that's slow. There ain't nothing like a steel guitar drown a memory. Before you spend your money, babe, play a song for me. And don't rock the jukebox, wanna hear George Jones. 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone. So don't rock the jukebox, play me a country song. You don't rock the jukebox, play me a country song.
Life is so strange when you don't know. How can you tell? Hello. Hello. Hello, John. Can you hear me? Can't hear you. Hello, 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 hello. I see you in the room, having some technical difficulty. Oh, he's off. Come back on, hopefully. Oh, John. We gotta get you back on your old computer. I can't hear you. Change your microphone option. Let's go to the chat over here. Can't hear you typing. Can't hear you, John. I see John's there. Texting, I'm chatting. He's back. The microphone's back off. Change the microphone input. Something isn't right here with John C. Dvorak's machine, his microphone, his connection, his... he's off and on. Oh, we're trying desperately to get this going, gang. From his place of convalescence, John C. Dvorak is having all sorts of trouble with his computer. Hang on. Hello, John. Yeah. What's going on?
Okay, I'm going to tell you what's going on.
Yeah?
So I guess this is on the browser, which I don't want. It sounds like shit.
Right.
But the AI companion loads, and I click on it. Doesn't, not the AI companion, but the app. Now I'm looking at my screen. It says the audio thing's over on the right, on the left. And I click on it, It turns the microphone on, but automatically turns it off.
Is why not? But you're in the browser, so why don't you open up the Zoom workplace and then use that meeting credentials I gave you?
I did.
That didn't work either.
It threw me into the Zoom workplace on the browser.
So let me hang on a second. To stop Zoom from opening a browser, ensure the Zoom desktop was installed. Update and check the browser setting to allow Zoom.us to open the app. Often clicking cancel on the browser prompt will trigger the desktop open. I don't know. When the meeting opens in the browser, look for the pop-up asking to open the Zoom app. Cancel it or do not show this again. I don't know.
The more annoying thing is, let me start from scratch. I'm going to go right through the process again.
Okay. All right, bye. I'll stay on the phone.
Did you call on the other line, too? Because you're coming in on the other phone.
I don't.
Hello?
I'm coming through your Zoom.
Oh, okay. It's going through the. Okay. I'll talk about that later. Something changed. This has worked automatically with no problems for forever.
Oh, but you're on a different computer.
No, it worked fine 2 weeks ago on this computer.
Oh, that's weird.
I mean, that's the first thing.
So you got to leave this room. You got to close your browser.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
But can't you just open the app itself? The app is pushing you to the browser?
Yeah, now it is. This last time, but I'm trying to close this thing. Where is it? Here it is. Am I off yet?
No, you're still in the browser or wherever you were.
I shouldn't be anywhere.
I can kick you out, maybe. I can remove you. Well, there's a always join from browser setting in your web portal.
When I first click on your link, it comes up with the regular normal looking thing where you're. And your room usually pops up.
Yeah.
And it tells me, do you want to join from the app or the browser? It doesn't automatically do anything.
Right. There's something about, you can go to the Zoom web portal, go to your settings, meeting, and advanced, and toggle off show always joined from browser option.
Where's that?
That's when you have to go to Zoom itself and log into Zoom. If you
don't have a login.
That's a different problem. Stop.
Let's walk through this again, see if I can get it to work.
But you're in the room now, so you need to leave the room.
I've got no room on my browser.
Let's see, remove you. Once you're moving up, you'll. Oh, cancel. That's not good. That's not good. I'll start the meeting again. End meeting for all. And I'll start the meeting again. Here we go. Start the meeting. Okay, start.
Okay, I'm clicking on your thing. Is the password still John?
Yes, but don't say that because everybody can hear you say that. Yes. I'll change it after this. Yes.
No, you can't find it through. Did not open Zoom Workplace app.
Why?
That's what it says. Please download and install the app and click. Okay, well, I started that again to download. Installing Zoom Workplace.
Did you do this already?
What?
Did you do this already?
I'm doing it again.
Okay, good.
Because this, do you want to allow this app? Yeah. Hang on.
There's another way to delete cache from Zoom. It's in the contents of the app data Zoom folder. Run it as administrator, you could do too.
Okay, it opened.
Okay, and? Right. Now you had to get in the room.
It says enter your name and meeting passcode. John.
Okay.
Meeting passcode is something else?
No, that's fine. I don't know why it's asking you for that, but that's a different story.
Join.
I see you.
Oh, it's me.
There you go, I think.
This looks more like it.
And then now you get asked to unmute.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay.
Test, test. Can you hear me?
Oh, thank God. I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore. I can hear you fine.
I can't hear you.
What? Oh, come on. Check, 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 check.
So you can hear me and I can't hear you.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
It's, by the way, a different interface.
Yep, that's true.
Yet again.
Hello, 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 hello.
Let's see. Where are...
Go to the audio area.
You can hear me, but I can't hear you.
Yes.
Why is that? More. Let's click on more. Audio. Okay, I can... Bottom of... Yeah, audio. It's on.
Change speakers.
Speakers.
Check, 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 check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's in the audio settings.
Audio.
Audio settings.
Speaker.
Right. Change the speaker. Check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Not working either.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
What happened to my speakers?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep. Check, 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 check. Hello, hello, hello.
There you are.
Oh, thank God.
What an ordeal.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And might I say at this point.
We'll be done. We'll talk to you next week, people.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John.
Oh, that was painful.
You know, this Zoom stinks.
Well, it stinks when it doesn't work. When it does work, it works great, it seems.
No, when it works great. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just think it was. Let's put into possible user error in this. Just a possibility, I'm thinking. And we'll go from there. Oh, phone's ringing.
Let's see what JC has to say.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Put him on speaker.
I should. Okay.
All right, you're doing horrible. I'll call you later.
Yeah, okay.
You okay, got it, you right. Got it, buddy. Okay. Well, don't cough. Don't be breaking down here. You ready to go?
Yeah, go.
All right, let me get this stuff saved. Home, save this. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And we're a little bit late here on the 31st of March, 2026.
You're over-modulating slightly.
I can turn that down.
It's probably because you turned it up last time. But you sound much better than you did last time. Last time,
because I'm not going through the browser. Does it sound better?
Yeah, you can go a little bit louder. Let me just check one more thing. You go a little bit louder on your side.
You want me to go down?
No, up.
Turn it down.
Up a little bit. Just a tad. Just a tad.
Test.
Yep, a little bit more.
Test.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's good.
Okay.
Yep. So, how you feeling, John?
Terrible. I've got 2 months of recuperation.
So how much you got under your belt so far?
Just heading on a month.
So you only have 1 month left. Big deal. You could do that standing on your head.
I can't stand on my head.
Now, are you...
Never could.
What are you doing for rehab? Are you walking each day? You're doing the...
No, oh! I do some walking. I do some this. I do some that. People come over. I go to one appointment after another. It's a nightmare.
Are you blowing those balls? So to speak, you know,
they have this other little device you use to exercise your lungs.
So you got to do that
thing. It's kind of fancy.
And then they cracked your chest open. So therefore you got to kind of
they cracked my chest open already. They're not going to do it again.
No, that's good.
Unless
so
they fall on my ass or something.
So you're walking around, you get very winded.
Not terribly.
Okay. You lost some weight. You're trying to gain some of that back.
No, I want to get my weight to a certain, no, I'm fine.
What
the
about
weight, so no problem with the weight.
And what about vino?
About what?
Vino, wine, liquor.
I won't be drinking wine for a year.
Oh, that's deflating. That right there.
I know. It's the bad part.
Oh,
it's good for the collection.
I guess.
All my wines will be a year older.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about what's going on. Trump, President Trump may have played the wrong Trump card, making up stories to the markets. It's funny how the media has turned where there was, I mean, all media that I've seen, everybody that was neutral was for a long time, just whatever, just letting anything be said. And all of a sudden, now we come into some of these 7 a.m. Monday morning commentaries or these Friday afternoon after the close commentaries about the war is over, we won the war or something like that, or we're going to, whatever it is. And markets would pop on that for a while. And now all of a sudden they're like, no, you know what? We're not buying this. The whole idea of having, what was it? Last week, the end of the week was negotiations that were going very well. And it's like, what negotiations? Who's negotiating? And so that's kind of interesting. We'll talk a little bit about how that's affecting the markets. But oil's been on the move, and that's the real tell right now. As a matter of fact, we saw the Monday had the highest close yet for this cycle. We saw 105 on WTI. Right now, oil's trading at, where's oil? 102.86 after touching. I put an alert on my system, John, for 105. When that hit,
you go to 105?
It was at 105. This morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. You just thought you meant from 101.
No. So it did go to 101 to 103, 104. Today it was like 104.5. And I'm like, you know what? Let's take a little note that when it hits 105, let's see what happens here with the markets. Markets were kind of doing its thing today because everybody was excited over the fact that, you know, some of the opportunities were there for maybe some further talks, et cetera. And more boats were getting through the Straits of Hormuz. And then there was some commentary about the president of Iran was going to talk about maybe some, you know, ceasefires with conditions. It hits 105. I get the alert. Everything rings in my office. And all of a sudden, I look over and I see what's going on. Markets are fading a little bit. And then all of a sudden, oil starts careening lower. Well, not careening. $2. Goes from 105 to 103, 102.5, 101, 100. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? There was some other announcement and some other confirmation about somebody talking to somebody and whatever. So this whole market is really moving on the commentary, but also the tell is oil.
Rank speculation.
Yeah, that's true also. Yeah, that's a good point. But now what's interesting is moving up again. So it was, let's see, I'm going to kind of pop this and just talk you through this chart for a second. It was as low as, you know, probably 101, 101. It drifted for a second into the 100 range. Now it's at 102.67, which is what? Just a stone throw, a buck off of where it was at the high or so. Buck and a half, $2. That's not very much considering what's going on. And what's interesting of what JC pointed out a few weeks ago was that while we see oil here at 101, 105, Brent crude is 120, oil in Asia is like 140. They're getting killed. And which is like 40% more than we're paying here. So if you're paying $5 a gallon, you know, you'd be paying $7 a gallon. Plus they were already paying a higher price.
Well, we're in California.
What are you up to? Well, not that you've been out and about, but what do you?
I've been out and about, but I haven't been driving. $7.
$7. So you got about $2.5 in there of taxes.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Right.
Something like that. And the scam blend. Our blend is peculiar to California. It's expensive to make.
The summer blend.
I don't know what they call it, but it's a certain blend that keeps the pollution levels down. It works.
Speaking about oil blends, little tidbit for you that I know you'll know because you know everything.
Oh, yeah.
Vegetable oil.
Yeah.
Wesson, Crisco, you know, anything vegetable oil.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
What, diesel fuel?
No. What is vegetable? I'm saying vegetable oil that you consume. That we fry things.
How do you get the oil from the vegetable?
No, I'm asking you, what type of oil is it, do you think?
What are the categories I'm looking at here for types of oil?
Okay, what is the ingredients that make vegetable oil?
Well, I know it's so overprocessed. I have no idea.
I looked at, don't ask me why, please, just don't ask me. But I looked at, I looked at several bottles at the grocery store, probably 10 different brands of vegetable oil.
Yeah.
Ingredient, soybean oil. Soybean oil. That's all it is, soybean oil.
Oh, yeah, it was also some, yeah. Oh, if that's what, I could have answered that.
I knew it. See, I knew you knew everything. I asked the question incorrectly.
Yeah, so
there's no difference. There's no difference in any of those oils.
Well, there is between corn oil, which is kind of a vegetable oil.
I understand, but anything that's marked, it seems vegetable oil, not corn oil.
Generally, soy. Yeah,
sure. Not canola. Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting because that was a big thing to get away from the seed oils. Big movement.
It's a seed oil.
So I go to, I don't know if I told you this. So I think I told the JC, I went into a restaurant and the guys are, oh, we're a scratch kitchen. And we just want to let everyone know we do not use any seed oils here. We only use beef tallow. Did I talk to you about this?
Yeah. No, but I know the people that do this.
And I was like, huh, wait a second. And there's these women at the table, right? That are always like, oh my God, I won't eat this. I won't eat that. Only have to have certain. And they're like, oh, that's wonderful. I'm thinking, I said right in front of everyone, I said, stop. That's what I said to, like, there's four women on the other side of the table. I said, stop. We're eating beef tallow, things fried in or cooked in beef tallow now. You're okay with that? Well, of course. I'm like, you know, that's lard. You know, that's lard, right? That's beef fat. Do you know? Oh, it is?
They didn't know what it was?
No, it's beef tallow.
Yeah, the beef tallow is fat.
I understand. I'm just telling you what I thought. It was pretty amazing.
This is a trendy, trendy world.
It's so weird. I'm like, what happened to you people that you only wanted certain highly hydrogenated, non-da-da-da-da, saturated, blah-blah-blah, oils, right?
Polyunsaturated.
Yeah, that was a big thing. Now it's like, oh, no, we want beef tallow. I'm like, you do? And then, yeah. Like, in my kitchen, I'm cooking something. I'm sauteing something. I take some Wagyu beef tallow, or I just made a batch of beef tallow myself, which was kind of a fun experience, actually. It just takes time.
I used to do that when I was a kid.
It came up pure white. It's beautiful looking.
It should, yeah.
And
use
I cook
goose fat.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be good. And it has a high, by the way, tallow, lard, Crisco, fat in the can, is a high smoke point, like 450 degrees.
So unless it's got a lot of particles in it.
Right. It has to be fully strained and really clean. So anyway, worst month in a long time for markets. It is now officially the end of the quarter, end of the month of March, first quarter of the year. 7% or so on the S&P 500, 7-8% on the NASDAQ. Dow Jones got crunched. Oil's up 50% since the beginning of the year. Bond yields came down a little bit over the last couple of days. They were starting to go towards 4.50 again on the 10-year. They're about 4.35 or so. International equities got smoked as the dollar had one of its best months in a long period of time. Dollar up, oil up, equities down, bonds down. There you go. Not a good period. Yeah, until today.
I thought you'd be more jacked up because today the Dow shot up 1,100.
It's great. But you know what? You want to know what we did? We shorted into it slightly, started our short position into it because we think this is not over. And even if it isn't over, we're not going to, you know, we still have positioning. And we also started to rebalance portfolios today, moving things out of some of the more susceptible areas that could continue to have a leg down if, in fact, this war doesn't end. Because I do not believe Iran is really desirous at this point of ending this. And even if they did end it today, my concern about inflation and problems from an oil standpoint moving forward, like 60, 90 days at least, is a problem. So we have a 60-day change of allocation that's going on right now to reassess.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, it is possible that we'll see another V recovery like we've seen. But, you know, when you see the lasting effects of supply disruptions like we're going to see and we are seeing with LNG, with Europe's going to run out of, aren't they going to run out of jet fuel in like 2 weeks? We just sent over two giant boats over there. We don't ever send it over there. They buy from other places, but they're out.
Well, they got to get this thing. This Iran thing has got to stop.
But it doesn't look, I mean, President Trump said 2 to 3 weeks today. As long as this goes on.
You know, his time, you might as well not pay attention to it.
Yeah.
It's like his favorite bit, which I think he's going to get. I think he can't get away with too much more. He says, I'm giving you 5 days or we're going to bomb you.
Yeah.
Well, he starts bombing on day three.
We have a new deadline. It's April 6th, the day after Easter. By the way, happy Easter for everybody that is celebrating Easter. Isn't that coming up this week? Or is it this week?
Yeah, in fact, it's my birthday.
Oh, April 5th.
Yep.
Very nice. Happy Easter. Happy birthday. You made it to another birthday. We can clearly say that, can we?
Yeah, I think so.
We could. Got through the hard part.
Well, now after this event, I should go for a while.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. We're going to sign up for another decade here. Happy Passover, by the way. I made brisket two ways for Passover starting tomorrow night. Got 24 people coming over. Had to make a
two ways.
Well, I did a traditional brisket where I baked it with a mirepoix and a kind of a red wine tomato sauce in the oven. And then I took the point, the fat, you know, the big part of the brisket, the fatty part, and I put it on the smoker, smoked that for a while, cut it up into cubes, and it's a kind of way out to the other side, do burnt ends. Made some potato pancakes. I got all that ready for tomorrow. Chicken soup, matzo ball soup. Got it going. 24 people.
Yeah, you can do that.
Ugh,
that much. Takes a lot of skill.
Too much. After, by the way, I had a chili competition Sunday, which, by the way, full admission, did not place at all. Maple, bacon, bourbon. I don't know. I think it was they were looking for much more traditional. I kind of jacked it up with bison and short rib and made it.
Oh, yeah. They don't like you to get too fancy.
I got fancy. I got fancy. This. I got to go back to my roots. I got to go back to just chili. Smoked chili. That's it. Cowboy style smoked chili.
Especially that one specific chili.
Yeah, exactly. The one that took all the awards.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. Monday morning, let's talk about what happened there because we touched on this 7:30 a.m. Monday morning. More BS for the markets. Talks are growing. You know, everything's going great. Don't forget, a week and a half ago, Joe Kernan was the stooge, the rube that took the call from President Trump about all this going on well, and markets moved up for a while. Then they realized that there was nothing going on and kind of turned. Problem is that there's a severe threat that if nothing changed by next week, Iran's going to get pummeled again. Again, they're striking several key targets in the Middle East. You see what's going on with aluminum prices? They're
no,
hitting.
I do not. I
oh, my gosh. This. They're hitting aluminum smelt plants and all that over that side that produces a lot of all this base for aluminum manufacturing. And we saw like Alcoa and a variety of the smelting stocks move up dramatically here because people are like, all right, that's another problem. LNG is an issue in Kuwait and in Bahrain. Bahrain was where the aluminum smelt. I think something there. Or it was coking coal. It was something going on over there or something. It just messed up the aluminum markets. And then we got the urea issue that's going on.
Yeah, that's going to be
a big problem. That's a big problem because the planting season is now, N-O-W now. So we'll see what happens. The question is, you know, there's only so often the administration, the Pentagon, the White House, Scott Bessent can cry wolf. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, I agree.
And play these Trump cards. And then, of course, on Tuesday, this is what happened. The Iran state media today said Iran's president spoke with the EU council on the phone, says Iran is prepared to end war with guarantees against further attacks. You know, they want the guarantees. This is this whole thing. Everything went crazy with this. They have about five. We gave them a 15-point plan. They want five. They want total control of the Strait of Hormuz, which, by the way, it looks like President Trump is now giving up on. Did you know? Did you track any of that?
Yeah, I've been watching, listening.
Do you think that there's been discussion over the weekend that from a variety of people that talked about how you can't leave without cleaning up and getting control of the Strait of Hormuz? President Trump says, "The hell with it. What do we care? We're not getting our oil from there anyway. The guys who are dealing with this can clean this up themselves."
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that premise that this is something we should?
This was my prediction on the No Agenda show every Thursday and Sunday.
With Adam Curry.
Yeah, at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I predicted that the idea was, at least the way I saw his exit strategy, the best one he could have without, you know, just bringing in troops, was to just abandon, say, look, we bombed the place. I've already declared victory. Your infrastructure shot. I can't do any more damage. Let's just go because no one wants to help us anyway, which is, by the way, I think the kicker. No one wants to help us anyway, so we'll just leave and then it'll resolve itself because once we go, they'll reopen it anyway.
So you think that what's going to happen is by us resolving it and saying that we're not going to deal with it, leaving, it's going to open full bore.
That's my wishful thinking scenario.
What's your gut feeling about the fact that they now know they can control it and could pass duties like $2 million a ship?
Yeah, they could, but it's international law illegal.
Well, isn't war illegal?
So that won't last long.
Well, who's going to fight them? They'll just start back up again.
We always have the opportunity to go back in and bomb more.
I know this thing. It just seems like we're unfortunately at this point we did a lot of damage. I just wonder what the long term impact is going to be about how we can, you know, make sure that. Well, I don't even know what the mission actually is. So that's another whole story entirely, isn't it? Like what we were trying to stop the nuclears, right? Trying to stop, yeah. And supposedly we may have. I don't know. Let's move on. Let's just move on.
They may know where the stuff is and they may grab it.
Yeah.
Grab the nuclear material.
Just take it. There's some more crazy records going on. Jonathan Krinsky today said at 12:41 p.m. in the afternoon, the NYSE tick index hit 2,329 positive, which is the highest on record back to 1993. This index measures the number of New York Stock Exchange securities trading on an uptick minus those trading on a downtick from any given time of the day. So for perspective, there's 2,400 stocks in the New York Stock Exchange. 2,329 had an uptick at 12:41. You think there's a lot of short covering going on?
That sounds like it.
Yep. About 100% of the stocks traded on an uptick, simply unprecedented. The prior high was 4/9/2025 when President Trump put a 90-day pause on tariffs. So that day, the S&P was up 9.5%, by the way. That was more crazy. But then it sold off about 6.5% over the next 7 days. I mean, these kind of moves, it's the heavy hand of government. We've seen this before. This is, if you think back to the great financial crisis, remember when Treasury Secretary Paulson got on his knees with Nancy Pelosi? And he was begging Nancy Pelosi to please pass the 700, I don't think it was billion, I think it was million or something.
It was some ridiculous number.
But it wasn't that high. It wasn't 700 billion, I don't think. It was some crazy number, but for the time. And he was on his knees. Once they got things going, every time they said something, the markets would go crazy. And that's because this heavy hand of the government is all over it. It's not healthy.
No, and it's never been resolved.
Yeah, no kidding. What else we got here? Hedge funds. Equities are coming out into cash. This is the hedge funds and money managers. A lot of hedges have been applied. Damage is done to markets right now. Clearly, trends are a mess. We're underneath the 200-day moving average for all the major indices, even though we saw about a 2.5% to 3% return on the S&P 500, the NASDAQ 100 and NASDAQ, and the Dow, the Russell 2000. The damage is done. We call these now broken charts. You have things like, okay, there's a little downstroke in an uptrend. Now, if you go back far enough, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, We're still in an uptrend, right?
Yeah.
But you look at the shorter term, and now we have some broken charts. The uptrend is clearly broken, or better said, we're in a downtrend. And right now there's a concern that it takes a long time to you know, well, rehab, right? Somebody gets sick, like the markets, it takes a little while to kind of come out of that. You don't just come out of it and jog a mile right after open heart surgery, do you, John?
No, you're lucky you can jog a foot.
Right, exactly. So one of the things that's been going on is that we've seen some heavy short sales by hedge funds and sales by what we call systematic investors. These have increased dramatically. And the potential now, what we saw today, I would have said this the same today if the market moved up or not, but the potential for a sharp swing higher for stocks in the event of a de-escalation is what happened is very high. We had a lot of oversold levels, which again, oversold can keep on going. But those bear market bounces, the correction bounces are usually very volatile and very, what's the word I'm looking for? They're very intense. So what happened was hedge funds have cut their global equity holdings for 6 straight weeks. They added short sales, they added hedges. Short exposure to macro products in Europe reached a 10-year high. And here's some things, and this is the question. If you look at these two charts, one says GS Prime Book. You can see this goes back to 2017. These are available on the website, dhunplugged.com, episode number 796 under the show notes. And by the way, while you're there, one of the things that John really enjoys to do, I know this. I mean, he hasn't maybe told you guys this, but one of the things he likes to do when he's rehabilitating, when he's sitting around during the day, is see the donations come in. Don't you like that?
Yeah, we'd like to see that. That would be good.
Yeah. So it makes him happy. It makes him stronger. It gives him a little bit of a lift in his walk. Gives him this opportunity. Go over to dhunplugged.com. There's a little button that says donate. It should say donate for John's well-being. Something like that, it should probably say.
Yeah. There you go.
You know what I mean? And
I'd go for that.
The bigger it gets, the stronger it gets. That's kind of like what we're looking for right now. Seriously. Go over to dhunplugged.com, see the charts that are on the show notes, click the button that says donate, and everybody's going to be happy. Now, what we're looking at now is the Prime Book. This goes...
Yeah, I don't get this at all.
All right. It shows basically positive value. If it's above zero, there's net buying that is going on. If it's below zero, there's net selling that's going on. So if you look at in 2025, that giant move lower,
yeah,
it shows that there was that big sell on the tariffs. And then usually what happens you see one extreme to the next is usually what happens here.
Well, it looks like.
You know, you can see.
This is an interesting chart people should definitely check out.
Yeah. You can see like the one that we saw in March of 2025 turned around and just was, you know, all recovered. The selling was all recovered. Right now we saw a bunch of buying that happened in 2025 mid-year to 2026, and that started selling off, and we reached this, you know, big point. Again, it doesn't mean it has to turn around the markets immediately, but, you know, you can see this go on for some time. But usually it resolves in 3 or 4 months.
It never goes on for some time from the looks of it.
Yeah. It's 3 months maybe. And then the other chart here is market metrics. This is interesting. This is a variety of things here. This is off of Bloomberg. We see the VIX index, which is in black, which is, you know, the S&P has kind of been the first chart. It's been climbing, 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 climbing. We saw the end of 2024 to 2025, a big move on the VIX. And then it kind of settled out. The VIX started moving again, hit about 30 the last few days. Market's starting to roll over slightly. If you look at the next one, the blue one, the 14-day RSI relative strength index,
yeah,
you see it's rolling down. Okay, it's definitely the trend. If you didn't know what the stock market was doing, you could see that. If you look above that for one moment, just look at the red line, the red area chart.
Yeah.
That's the drawdown. That's a drawdown from the high. We're nowhere. We're not even drawn down yet.
No, not at all.
So then you go down to the 200-day moving average ratio. You can see that it's starting to roll down. This is the number of stocks that are above or below its 200-day moving average for the S&P 500. We're still seeing a decent number that are at or near their 200-day moving average. They have to come down more. And finally, the last one, which I thought was the most interesting, is the index of oversold members. There's a calculation of oversold versus overbought. You can see it's climbing, but it's nowhere where you see like in 2020, 2025, any of the times the markets really came down, that spikes. You get these big oversold levels. No, we're not even near there.
No, not at all.
So my point is, I think there could be some more work to do.
Yeah, I see. That's where you get this negative attitude.
Yes.
Okay. Makes sense.
That's me, Negative Nelly. Where's oil? Oil's at almost 103 now, by the way. Friendly reminder from your favorite folks here at DH Unplugged. I'd like to remind you that it is, by the time you hear this, it's going to be right into April. And your tax returns are due on 4/15. You know, by the way, your IRAs, for those of you that deposit your IRAs, are also due no later than the 15th of April for 2025. So you can still put in money into your IRAs, your Roth IRA, your regular IRA for 2025. That's good to know. I think that's good to know. What else do we got here? Let's see. Food deals, Cisco. Oh, this is interesting. Do you have a shop at Restaurant Depot?
No, I've never been to a Restaurant Depot.
There's got to be one out in California by you.
I didn't see one.
Well,
I mean, there are places like that. I know what it's like. You know, these kind of wholesale joints.
Like there's one on Evans Avenue in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's too far.
Well, where's the closest to you? What town is that?
I would say Berkeley, Richmond.
Berkeley, California. Anaheim? No.
Nope. Anyway, go on with the story.
Well, what's interesting is this is a great store. This is a store where after COVID, they let anybody in. You have to be a member before that. And you had to have a tax sale certificate. You know what I mean? A tax certificate?
Yeah, resale.
Resale certificate. That was then. Now anybody can go. After COVID, they opened it up. And this has been around since 1973, I believe it is. And Cisco is now going to be acquiring them for about $29 billion, including debt. It's going to create one of the largest food services groups in the U.S. And by the way, when I say Cisco, I don't mean Cisco like as in the routers. I mean Cisco like
S-Y-S-C-O. Yeah.
So the Restaurant Depot shareholders get $21 billion in cash, 91 million Cisco shares. What's interesting about this, the way that Cisco operates, is that they deliver food to restaurants, usually. You know, they have